Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Okay. Podcast starts now.
Okay. Oof.
Shh.
I just want to fill everyone in that it's now been a half hour. We had a half hour of how many, would you say, 4 different technical issues?
If you can hear what we're saying right now, that is a feat of our technical prowess.
Really, I can't even, I do think it probably still doesn't work, even though we
are supposedly
recording 2 different ways.
What we are currently recording, there is no doubt in my mind, is not being recorded. This can't be released because it's not being recorded. We are talking to nothing and to
no one. We're finally going back to our roots for 2 reasons. First of all, because we are not recording and speaking with no intention of releasing the episode, which is kind of how this podcast started. And then second of all, because we are both hungover and over-caffeinated.
Yes. I woke up this morning with a deep, dark hangover. And it is, you know, I'm reaching that part of it that is like where you want to go to sleep, but I can't because I have to record our smash hit podcast.
Yeah.
Our runaway smash podcast. The podcast on everybody's lips. I'm, of course, talking about Stradiolab.
You know, I mean, Sam, I told you this, but we have our youngest ever fan.
Who?
Okay. Are the wheels turning?
Oh, the baby.
Yeah. Okay. So our friend of the pod, Dan, had a baby. Well, he didn't give birth to the baby, but he now is a father.
And he kidnapped a baby.
And it's so funny. I was, wait, Sam, you missed Max's birthday party at the park yesterday, but I was telling someone this. And I was telling Joel Brooklander, and he was talking about how it was impossible to find a kettlebell during quarantine. And so then I was talking about how our friend adopted a baby, and he's like, "Yeah, I mean, it's easier to adopt a baby than buy a kettlebell in quarantine."
Oh my God, how did that feel to be social?
Honestly, it was really to close the loop on the other thing.
Sorry.
So Dan's baby. Well, I guess he told me the name, but maybe it's not public info, so maybe I don't want to dox her.
Leak the name.
Let's just say, you know how for albums, for like a Lady Gaga album, it's like LG6? This is DD1.
Wow.
So I won't say the baby's name, but it's a very cute name, and it's like, in my mind, it's a Greek name, but like if someone was like, it's actually Latin, then I'd be like, sure.
Well, yeah, they're the same, right?
Right, they're the same. Well, there's like old and new.
I mean, the fact that Greece and Italy are different places, is this offensive? The fact they're like the same, right? Is this rude?
No, I do think that also the stereotypes about Italians and Greeks are... Well, it's funny because Italian culture is so much more represented in the United States. I mean, from The Sopranos to Lady Gaga. And whereas Greek culture, really, we only have Niavardalos.
Who is that?
She wrote and starred in My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, you're right. Okay, she's a star.
Yeah, Academy Award nominee. Any other questions?
I'm not obsessed with her. Jesus.
Okay, well, makes one of us. But I do think it is crazy how Italian-American culture has so many touchstones.
Yeah.
And many of them are good. I mean, many of them are terrible, but many of them are really good.
But Greek-American culture is...
It's My Big Fat Greek Wedding. It is...
I keep wanting to say Italian things. I'm like...
I know. In season two of the Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini Netflix show Dead to Me, there's a storyline that has to do with the Greek mafia.
Oh, you know what? It's Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
That's what it is. You're right. Oh, my God. And you know what else? Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. Of course.
Okay, but that's more like things set in Greece. Like, I guess Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, there's the Greek guy that Alexis Bledel likes.
Yeah, that's Greek culture. The Greek guy.
No, you're right. The idea of being the Greek guy is Greek culture. Okay, so wait, so being outside, I have to say, so here's the thing, like, I do think it's funny to see people, you know, in real time negotiate with themselves how serious they want to be about social distancing and protecting themselves. It's a lot of like people truly half-assing it in the most charming way. It's just like it's like you'll forget about it and then you'll have like a normal interaction and then kind of like go back and be like, oh no. Or, like, you'll suddenly realize you put down your mask in order to have a sip of coffee, but then you, like, didn't put it up in time. I don't know. And then there were other... I have to say, I did not do this, but I was shocked to see people around... Sometimes people would, like, hug.
Yeah, and it's like, isn't that illegal? Isn't right. that the thing you were not supposed to do?
It's interesting.
And I'm lost.
Yeah. Do you think there needs to be kind of a park, like a peaceful park patrol team that whose only job is to prevent people from hugging?
George, in this time, in this
That's
era,
why I chose our words very carefully.
Are you arguing for more police?
No, I'm literally arguing.
In
saying,
2020,
no, I'm saying
the year of our Lord, are you asking for more police?
No. In fact, that I was trying to make... it's like way too soon to make... I was trying to make a joke of like the last thing I would want to do is involve the police. So that's why there should be like a part... In fact, how about this? It's an all children force.
No. In yes. the year 2020 AD, Anno Domini, are you asking for more police?
No, I'm literally.
Are you asking for a child army to yes, police people?
Here's the thing. A child army of park, of community park patrol, unarmed.
Of course. I mean.
all little girls. So it's feminist.
Okay.
Sounds very gendered. They all have to dress like Jojo Siwa. so that they're like non-threatening. Not only are they unarmed, they actually are all wearing what's the word I'm looking for?
I have no idea.
A straitjacket. So it's little girls dressed like Jojo Siwa wearing a straitjacket. So they
hair like Jojo Siwa.
So even if they wanted to in any, you know, like even if they wanted to kind of like push someone or something, they can't do that. But all they do is go around and if someone's hugging, they go, "Stop it." Okay, do you still think that that's a bad suggestion?
I think you're right that you have made the distinction between this army and police very
That's like
different.
That was my I entire know. Intention from the beginning. I was like, what is a form of, you know, collective, you know, ways of holding each other accountable that is the least, that has the least possibility of being abused. And And my suggestion, which I stand by, is an army of little girls dressed like JoJo Siwa in straitjackets.
I think it's genius.
Wait, I'm going to jump in. I don't know if I'm allowed to, because I think you guys are still like doing your intro. Those are where my tax dollars are going, to these girls in straitjackets. I pay taxes.
Listen, the taxes are not only going to the straitjackets, but to the pieces of flair that are going on the straitjackets in order to make the little girls even less threatening than they already are.
It's a fun thing. People love the JoJo Siwa army.
And here's where we're going to pay for it. All the money that was previously going to Girl Scouts is not going to go to these child armies of little girls. So
wait, do we pay for Girl Scouts?
I guess not.
That's not like a government agency.
Wait, you know what though? It should be, don't you think?
I mean, absolutely.
What if all the money that went to the police went to Girl Scouts, and then they made, instead of just cookies, literally like elaborate like baked goods, like a really fresh lime tart that they would deliver to your house?
I mean, I would love that.
The Girl Scouts.
So why don't we do that?
They got stuff going on. Like when I was a kid, I wasn't a Girl Scout, but I went to Girl Scout camp.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. I went.
You can just let yourself into Girl Scout camp?
I can. I
with
did.
Being unaffiliated and.
Wait, this is how my friend who isn't Jewish worked at a kibbutz.
I worked at a Jewish Y, and I'm not Jewish.
See, there you go.
Well, the Girl Scouts are very similar to the Jewish people in that they're very welcoming of outsiders.
They are. And I learned how to sail there. They had like all sorts of programs. Archery, you know, we learned. They do a lot of stuff.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They're building an army.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what though? Archery already, that would not fly in my child army of little girls dressed like JoJo Siwa. Physically speaking, I mean, their arms are tied. They can't do anything.
True.
You know, I have to say, we are recording this podcast and it is already different than any other podcast that we have ever recorded. Eudora has come into the conversation completely unannounced, and
here's the
we
thing.
Didn't yell at her to
That's
go
That's what
away.
I was going
to
say. That's what I was, and you know, and because what happens is people do come in unannounced, but we immediately, I mean,
we get
angry. I mean, we throw around like really kind of like offensive words. We'll be like,
we get
you
mad.
Giant bitch.
Wow.
Yeah. We've said that to some of our industry's biggest names.
Yeah, we've made them cry. I mean, luckily, you know, now we're on Zoom. Sometimes we'll get physically violent if we're in the studio. But today, I said, as soon as Eudora started speaking, I said, you know what? This feels right.
I said, let's not get mad. Let's not get mad. Let's just let it happen.
And we both decided that independently. But we knew this was the time.
So George and I kind of like, we don't need to say everything to know that we're on the same page. Mm. We can kind of like read each other's minds in a weird way. And actually most podcast hosts, when they really get in the groove, they often say that they have telekinetic powers with their co-host.
Correct.
And I also want to say about this pod so far is that it is the most disjointed yet. I feel like I cannot... I'm so hungover, I feel like I cannot hold a conversation thread, and I keep jumping at the next thing that you say and just trying to start a new conversation based on it.
Well, that is so lucky, because what we actually have to do is have a conversation and then have a second one with the second one that we're recording after this one. So I think that's really good news. So Eudora, at this point, you're in.
The
curtains are drawn. There's no point in going back to pretending that it's just the two of us.
I would like to retroactively introduce Eudora Peterson.
Thank you.
Does that count? Did I do it?
Yeah, that's fine. That's good.
You sound pissed.
Who?
Yeah, I did a bad job, right?
No, I'm not mad. No, honestly, I wasn't sure. Like, when you guys were talking, I was like, oh no, are they going to be like, why? I thought literally, Sam, you're going to text me and be like, speak. So that's the only reason why I jumped in. I honestly would... still be fine if you guys want to keep talking and then...
No.
At this point, if we were to keep talking, that would be crazy.
That would be insane. Yeah.
That would be bonkers.
So, Eudora, give us the lowdown before we fully get into it. Where are you mentally and spiritually right now?
And even if you dare want to say physically.
Mm. You know, physically, I'm actually in I'm in a real good place physically.
Go off.
I think honestly the best place I've ever been in my life. I work out 3 times a week. I never used to do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say times a day, and I was like,
oh, no.
Okay, 3 times a week.
Oh, no.
I was like, she's crazy.
Oh, no, 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 no.
What's your routine?
I just do, like, the videos, like, on YouTube. Like, I'm very – everybody's into the pop sugar fitness stuff. That's where I've started.
Wait, yeah, that's what someone sent me.
Really?
Is that, like – is everyone doing that?
I think so. I think especially like in quarantine, that's everybody's solution to not being able to go to the gym.
Can I ask something? What is the deal with pop sugar?
What? And this is a question that many people are afraid to ask. What is the deal with pop sugar?
Because yes, pop sugar, I think, is so emblematic of like, dare I say it, late capitalism.
Oh, no. That it's like ring the alarm.
It's impossible to understand what it is. And yet, you know, is it run by the army? Is it run by General Mills, the giant corporation? Is it run by both? Is it a
collab?
There
is no name to pop sugar. There's no like face behind it. It's truly it's a giant corporation that we have no accountability for.
A giant corporation. If you were to tell me that it made $1 billion a day, I would believe you. If you were to tell me it has literally never made any money because it actually has no product that it's offering, I would also believe you. I mean, in my mind, Pop Sugar is like a digital kind of BuzzFeed knockoff. But then suddenly, okay, it's a workout company?
Yeah, I have no idea. I totally agree with you, and you're so right in that, like, for some reason, I've never deign to ask what is going on here. I've just accepted it. But I agree. Like, it's fitness, but I think it's also, like, fashion. It's one of those things that's a lifestyle, which means absolutely nothing.
You know how, that thing about, like, cooking a frog, like, you bring it to a boil and it doesn't notice it's being cooked versus, like, putting a frog in hot water and it hops out?
Oh, I've never heard that.
Well, it's to be, like... Am I crazy?
No, I like it.
Here's the thing. That does sound like something I've heard before. I could not tell you what it means. And in fact, your description did not help me.
It means like sometimes when things are like slowly amped up, you just accept it as normal the whole way versus like starting at the top and you will be like, this is weird. Pop Sugar did that to us.
Acclimation.
Like, Pop Sugar has, yeah, it's been like around quietly always. And we've like never questioned it. And now like it's been around for what, 15 years? What is this website?
Yeah.
And we just accept it as normal. Whereas if it were introduced right now, we would be like, this is weird. Mm-hmm. But we can't because it's been around for 15 years.
You can slowly say that about a lot of things in our culture.
A lot of people.
A lot of people.
I think JoJo Siwa is kind of an example of that.
That's
actually
true. JoJo Siwa, if you were to now boil her, you know, who knows what would happen.
I
but she's been
that
in
is.
That hot tub for years.
Oh, you got to look her up. You'll freak.
I'm going to look.
Wait, I want you to look her up and then also reconsider the fact that I want my child army to look like that. And then I want you to react.
Oh, wait, I do know who this is. Okay.
Okay, but now do you think it's funny for a child army to look like that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I wanted.
My God. Okay, so
do you know what's crazy about JoJo Siwa is she's now like, okay, we have to have this really difficult conversation, which is that JoJo Siwa soon is going to have her can't be tamed phase.
Yeah, she's going to be like in a bird cage, like writhing around, and it's going to, like, people are going to, like, BuzzFeed's going to be like, not the JoJo Siwa you thought you knew.
Yeah,
and
Pop then, Sugar like, is going to go wild.
And then, like, weird gay guys are going to be like, for real, we actually love this. And
there's going to be gay guys that are like, if you weren't standing her from day one, then like, you know, don't get on the bandwagon now.
I mean, the fact that, okay, and I can say this because I am a gay guy.
Right.
The fact that gay guys legitimately sometimes like Miley Cyrus is like, guys, come on. Like, she's not a real thing. Like,
wow.
She's JoJo Siwa. Like, We all accept this as normal. She's not normal. This is crazy. Am I upset? I'm upset. I'm crying.
Sam, in the words of Kamala Harris, that gay guy was me.
No. You like her?
I like her.
What do you like about her?
What do you like about her?
I mean, first of all, I fully the era where she was like twerking and whatever. You know, it's extremely cringy. I'm in no way trying to defend it. I think when she goes back to her roots, she has a really good voice. And
sure.
And she's really good at kind of like country-esque white music. And I actually genuinely think she's like a really good vocalist. And I think when she stays in her lane, she's good. She's talented. Eudora, what do you think?
It's tough. It's not tough. I can concede that somebody is talented, but I still don't have to like them. And I don't like
them. Oh, 100%. 100%. Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I think it took me a while. That's kind of how there's other people that like Taylor Swift, for instance, I do think is talented. For some reason, I don't react. I'm like, ugh, I don't like that. Like I have a visceral negative reaction to it. Mm-hmm. And Miley Cyrus, it took me a while to like forgive that entire and I understand that it's not my place to forgive for anything. But I just mean in terms of like me being able to like hear her without rolling my eyes, I'm now at a point where I'm able to do that. But do I think she's kind of annoying? Sure. I'm in no way gonna like die defending her. If someone was like she's bad, I'd be like, okay.
Here's the thing about me also, is like having a good voice is like okay, like sure, like that's like a bunch of people, like so many people have good voices. That's not like what is Miley Cyrus like? Does she have a perspective at all? Like her perspective is just like, I don't know, like I'll do whatever I want at a certain time.
Yeah,
am I being? I mean, get her on the pod. I'll tell this to her face. I would say this straight to her face. And this doesn't mean like I'm blasting Party in the USA, you know, I'm having fun. I'm not a grump, for Christ's sake. That being said, she's JoJo Siwa.
Okay, Eudora, who is your problematic fave?
Fave. I feel like I have a lot of them. I'm trying to think. Ooh.
I have one, and I will say who it is after you say yours.
Hmm. Dang, I really gotta think. I'm not sure. I guess maybe, I don't know if she's even my fave, but I do enjoy her. I like Doja Cat, but she's always in a lot of trouble, it seems like.
Yeah, she is. But here's the thing, I'm not up to date on this, so please don't go off on me, Sam. But in my mind, Doja Cat, the things that she's getting in trouble for are, it's like she was in chat rooms when she was like 16. Am I wrong?
That's the current thing that's like happening now. And I'm also not like up to date on that either. But yeah. I feel like prior to that too, she was like accused, like she was homophobic or transphobic. There's a lot of other stuff, yeah, that was going on.
Well, I would like to say I denounce homophobia and transphobia.
Brave. That is a slay.
And not a lot of people can say that, but I would also like to say that I really like that song where she goes, bitch, I'm a cow. And then I also really like Say So. I think Say So is like a really good song.
I kind of feel about Doja Cat like how long will she be around? Like, do I have to, you know, sign up for an account with her? Do I need to like stick around for her, or can I just like stay quiet for like another year and she'll be gone?
No, in my mind, I'm on the free trial, but you never know when they're going to start charging.
My problematic fave that I still have an account with, actually, is definitely Azealia Banks.
Me too.
Agreed.
She can say whatever she wants. I'll listen to every single new song.
Me too. It's,
the thing with Azealia Banks is you want to be like, whatever, like she's actually always right, and then someone reminds you of like something she said and you're like, oh god, right.
Yeah.
Like it really is like so terrible. Like, however, the thing with her, which is so crazy, and it's really usually not the case with people who are quote unquote messy like that, is that Azealia Banks's music is fully separate from her, from this like persona. Like, her music is always so carefully made and well done, and it's even if she has beef with someone or anything, she won't release like a really kind of like bad diss track that's like really roughly done. Like, it's always like incredibly well produced innovative music, and then in her personal life she'll just like suddenly say something really racist.
Mm-hmm. You're so right. Yeah, the music is impeccable.
The music is so good. I mean, I could, and more so than other people, like the consistency is even more so than people who are technically better you could argue at least like better musicians than her. I mean, even someone like Kanye like has his ups and downs. I feel like Azealia Banks, literally every song is good. Is that crazy?
I'm going to go ahead and say that's not crazy.
Okay, no, great.
I feel
what
like,
do you think?
No, I think like she's somebody who I don't understand like how her trajectory, like you said, is just always on an incline.
Yeah.
Like it's always getting better. But yeah, I agree with you. I love to listen to that music, and then, you know, you remember what happened.
You really do.
Yeah, you remember.
It's dark.
It's tough. It's also tough, too, because you're right in that, like, a lot of the stuff, when you can, like, sift through the sewage, there is, you know, something of value that she's trying to, like, explain. And I feel like a lot of it, yeah.
I remember specifically there was when she was on The Breakfast Club, maybe, like, at this point, like 4 or 5 years ago, it was actually a really good interview. And like, I watched the whole thing, or I listened to the whole thing rather. And I was like, I think she was like making very, very good points, like countering things people were trying to kind of like project onto her. But then the next day she'll wake up and she'll like literally say something incredibly racist about Zayn from One Direction.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what's the end game here?
I have no idea. But you're right. That's a good one though. That's a very, very good problematic fave.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I do think that's, to be fair, Eudora.
Oh, wait, was it Sam? I'm sorry, Sam.
That was actually my problematic fave.
That's a problematic fave of most white gay men I know. So I don't want the two of us to take too much credit. Sam, do you think it's time to do our first segment?
Weirdly, I think it might be.
Okay.
Okay, so our first segment is called Straight Shooters, and we give you like a series of rapid-fire questions, and it's sort of just to determine your familiarity with straight culture. So we'll give you like an A or a B, and you pick one.
Okay.
And the one rule is that you can't ask like what the rules of the game are. You have to just pick one.
Okay. And the other rule is like, please, like, don't overthink it. Like,
And then
like,
the third rule is don't underthink it.
Because if you're not like right in the middle, we'll tell.
Okay.
Yeah, we have, I mean, and we'll tell and we won't even have, we'll make eyes at each other and be like, well, she failed. Okay.
I'm afraid of you
guys.
So I'll
go first. Okay, Eudora.
Mm-hmm.
Bagels or Bialys?
Bagels.
Okay, Eudora. Flavortown or Funkytown?
Funkytown.
Jelly or jam?
Jam.
Anchorman or Anchorman 2?
Anchorman.
Okay, No Doubt Gwen Stefani, Harajuku Girls Gwen Stefani.
No Doubt Gwen Stefani. I don't need to hear the rest. It's fine.
Okay.
Mowing the grass while shirtless or being a lifeguard?
Being a lifeguard.
Toaster or toaster oven?
Toaster oven.
I'm out of ones.
Okay, a self-help book written by a woman named Carla or a coffee table book with a bunch of drawings of root vegetables?
Root vegetables.
Okay, correct.
Wow,
Sam. All right, so we have decided that this game will henceforth be rated out of 1,000 doves, which is a song on the new Lady Gaga album, Chromatica. So out of 1,000 doves, Sam, what do you think Eudora gets?
I think Eudora gets 982 doves.
That is spot on.
Nice. Wait, okay. Since are we done with the game?
Yes.
So can I ask about it or no?
Yeah, you can ask about
it. I mean, you can, but we're going to get mad.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you about it then.
Yeah, please do.
Wait, when you were giving me those questions, I was just choosing things that like I want, I like. I wasn't even thinking about like maybe you're supposed to choose things that the straight people would choose, but I chose
It's different for everyone. Some people choose the straighter option and some people choose what they themselves would choose, and then neither one is right or wrong. It's more of a matter of like what you're, if we can tell that you're doing something in good faith.
Okay.
The game is set up as a trap. It's for people to fall into and inherently fail. There is no succeeding on this podcast in general, even, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, even the fact that you were rated 982 doves, that's actually the worst possible rating you can get. It's not on a linear scale.
Okay.
It's both the worst and the best.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I mean, think about how many... I cannot stop thinking about 1,000 Doves, the song by Lady Gaga.
Eudora, have you heard the song 1,000 Doves by Lady Gaga?
I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh my goodness.
Okay,
I mean, it's a song about 1,000 doves.
If you were to release an album, what would the worst song on it be called?
Probably 1,000 Doves.
Yeah, that is correct. You
That's correct.
The best.
You get 1,000 doves for that answer.
But I don't want them. Okay, you know what? I'm happy to free fall into this podcast. Like you
okay,
said,
great. Okay, now we're there.
Okay.
Okay, if you're listening, the podcast starts now. Mm.
Okay.
So our topic today is...
Did you already forget it?
I remembered. It's the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The
what
Beatles.
What if the Beatles covered 1,000 Doves? It would be bad.
It would still be bad. Okay, when songs are bad,
right,
it makes them good in a way.
Yeah, no, that's true. What do you think?
When a song is bad, you think it makes it good? I think, honestly, if a song is bad, then it's good for me, because if you like this song, then I know about you.
Whoa.
So I guess it is good.
You know, music is so social.
Mm-hmm.
Music is so social. Mm-hmm. See, I like... Specifically when Lady... This podcast is obviously about the Beatles. When Lady Gaga is bad, I find that as fun as when she is good.
Oh, if not more so.
Yeah. Like, Chromatica, I'm happy... Obviously, this podcast is about the Beatles. That being said, Chromatica, I think, is so good in, like, a classic sense that when there's those little moments of bad, like, I'm talking 1,000 Doves, I'm talking Plastic Doll... I'm in heaven because I need her to be... I can't have her be smarter than me. And when she is dumb, I get to feel good. And when she's good, I get to feel good. But I need both. This podcast is obviously about the Beatles. But all that being said, this is how I feel about Lady Gaga.
That So in terms of the Beatles, Eudora, what's your favorite Lady Gaga album?
To be honest, I don't really know the Lady Gaga like albums. I know her singles, but I'm not like a huge fan. I'm not saying that I hate her or dislike, but it's one of those things where I don't like follow her, so I'm not aware.
Who's your number one, like pop star wise?
Pop star wise, probably Rihanna.
Okay, that's my answer. And then I was not recently. It was like 2 years ago, but I was on a different
that's
podcast.
Recent.
I was sorry.
That's recent. 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's
that's
recent.
Really recent.
I was on a different podcast and I said I love Rihanna, and then I was almost chased out of the studio.
By who?
By who?
You know what? I'm going to call them out by name.
Do it.
Marie Faustin and Sydney Washington.
Wait, what did they say about it?
What was their take?
Yeah. Well, their take, which I understand, is that Rihanna is like not as good of a live performer as many of her contemporaries. But then I said, and they were like, would you ever see Rihanna live? And they just both laughed and laughed, just these evil, maleficent laughs. And then I said, you know what? Sydney Washington and Marie Faustin, I have seen her live. I went to the Anti-World Tour with my friend from college, Chrissy. And you know what? We had a really good time. And I was completely sober, and I was having a ball throughout. And I actually think she's a great dancer live.
I have to tell you, listen, I love Sydney and Marie. I disagree with them about, like, things, whatever. But the thing about Rihanna, here's the thing. I would much rather go to a Rihanna concert than an Ariana Grande concert. Because, yes, Ariana Grande can sing, but she's not singing anything I want to hear.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Obviously, this podcast is about the Beatles. And the fact that you would bring up...
Paul McCartney? I went there. Whatever.
Ariana Grande, Paul McCartney. Negative light right now on our podcast about the Beatles. It's unnecessary and it's rude.
I'm free falling. I don't care.
You know, speaking of the Beatles, in the song 4 Seconds, Paul McCartney... duets with Rihanna, the international pop star and makeup mogul.
Yeah.
And not to mention problematic fave, Kanye West.
Oh, right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm not in the headspace to talk about Kanye West, but...
No, let's not.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Okay, Rihanna. See, I would agree. I mean, I think Rihanna is like... Rihanna is the platonic ideal of like how someone who's really popular can also... you know, can put out innovative and challenging music.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. And I also just feel like she's just, like, it's the same thing kind of with, like, people who kind of, like, push back with, like, Aaliyah. You know, Aaliyah mm-hmm. is not, like, the best, like, vocalist or whatever, but she has a whole, like, there's a whole attitude, and there's, like, this whole, like, there's so much more aspiration, I feel like, involved. Like, I want to wear the clothes that she's wearing. I want to go where she's going. I just want to be around her. I want to be immersed in this world. And it just, I don't know. It just sounds much more, like, complete. Like 100%. Sam was saying, tons of people can sing very well. I don't need to,
who cares about singing?
To be honest, I don't even like singing that much.
I don't like singing.
I mean, who cares? You can do. To sing, it's like, all right, well, congrats. You know,
yeah, awesome. You got an A.
You're good at, you know, I just made a pot of coffee. I don't deserve an award.
Yeah. Like, do people get awards for being like tall? Like, who cares?
Yeah. Some of them do. Like in sports.
Yeah. Some of them do. But I agree.
I love the sport where you are tall.
Yeah. You know, it's so
interesting. The sport where you have to reach.
That is one of my favorite sports. The sport where you just be.
Don't you think that sports would be so much better if we cut out the middleman and just awarded people who are tall? Like, rather than having them jump through hoops and, like, you know, be divided into, like, hockey and basketball and football, mm-hmm. just, like, pick the tallest people, mm-hmm. give them awards, mm-hmm. then pick the widest people, give mm-hmm. them different awards, mm-hmm. and then just fucking move on, mm-hmm. and we can debate about singers and pop music. The idea that you have to create this entire universe around what is essentially just giving people awards for being tall and wide.
George, this is the smartest thing you've ever said in your entire life. And this is making me think in such a big way. Like, the amount of energy we put into, like, building courts. Like, yeah. Literally, like, build a school. Uh-huh.
Just
like,
build a school.
We could fund so many child armies of JoJo Siwas with the money that we put into building basketball courts.
Oh my God. Just, and like, we're not taking anything away. Like, the tall people get awards still, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. No, it's true. And you know what? Okay. I just, because this is about the Beatles, I want to go back to Rihanna for a second. So we have this semi-recurring segment where we ask the question, is she there yet? And this was inspired by our old guest, Celeste Yim. And basically, it's just like, we pick a person and we say, is she there yet? And I think Rihanna is like an ideal example of someone who is there yet.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying in terms of like the combination of music, personality, vibe, like kind of like very conscious choices, even the fact that like other people who, you know, I won't name, do things like put out clothing lines and makeup lines and stuff almost as like, as kind of just like something to do to make money. Whereas Rihanna, I feel like, even does those things with more, in a more conscious manner. So it's just like, I don't know. I mean, imagine a world in which, everyone was like that.
That's beautiful. I mean, considering that this podcast is solely about the Beatles.
Yeah.
Is Ariana Grande there yet?
Okay. I want to hear Yodora's answer to this.
No, I mean, I'm just not an Ariana Grande fan.
You don't think she's there yet?
No. I think like the big difference also for me too is like authenticity. I feel like Rihanna feels like as authentic as a pop star can be, Rihanna feels that to me. Ariana Grande, I'm like, you tried to convince me that you were Latinx. So like, I don't...
You know, that is true. And it's one of those things that weirdly like comes up every few months.
Yeah.
And then there's like a viral tweet about it. And then everyone's like, okay, we addressed it. And then Ariana Grande comes out and is just like, hola. Yeah. And it's like, no.
But,
wait, speaking of, you know, Ariana Grande, ultimately Italian-American culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's Greek culture, though? Marina and the Diamonds. She's Greek. And no one cares about her. So no that one, really goes to
even,
show you.
Even I don't care about her.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. talk about someone who's not there yet.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I think what I'm getting, Yodora, is that you do think Ariana Grande is there yet, but that there is not somewhere you want to go.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. For most people, I think she is definitely there. And like I said, I don't, like, she is incredibly talented. I'm not disputing that or trying to negate that. But
why would you?
Yeah, but it's like...
in this climate?
No.
Please do not negate her talent in this climate.
That feel when you negate Ariana Grande.
I would never do that.
You would never. Never, ever, ever.
But yeah, like I said, it's like, but do I actually want to listen to any of the songs? No.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
I will say, kind of, I have the opposite feeling, where it's like, do I, like, dream about Ariana Grande's, like, vision? Like, do I, like, get in her world? Absolutely not. Right. Do I want to listen to those songs? 100% all the time.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, the songs hit.
The,
I mean,
songs do not hit. The songs don't hit.
Oh, my God. You're insane.
I'm a little bit insane.
I'm somewhere in the middle with this, because I'm so...
Here comes both sides, George.
I'm so empathetic to different viewpoints that really I could be pulled in any different direction. I should write for the New York Times opinion section.
Woo! Shots fired! Blah, 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 blah!
Wait, Sam, so what's a Ariana Grande song that hits for you?
Uh-oh, put him on the spot.
Yeah.
I mean, the number one, considering this is a podcast... about the Beatles,
sure, right.
The Ariana Grande song that is essential viewing is Into You.
How does that go?
You know what? Ultimately, I would agree with that.
I'm so into you, I can barely breathe. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh my God, Ariana, whoa. I love your work.
That one. And it's like, a da ba da ba ba da ba da ba da ba 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 da ba da ba da ba ba da. But I'm gonna out want it a little bit competition, a little more.
This sounds like a little less conversation, a little more action. That's what you
said. Yes, it does sound like that.
She's playing what she's referencing. Gotcha. I mean, it's an homage to Elvis.
Wow, talk about someone who was
who was also Latinx.
Yeah, Elvis is one of my favorite Latinx performers.
Do you really? So, Eudora, you don't know the song "Into You" by Ariana Grande?
Hearing you singing it, I'm like, oh, I'm aware of the song, but I guess there's just a lot of songs like that where they just, like, to me, they just don't do anything for me. I don't know what it is. And the thing is, I'm not even a pop snob. Like, I'm not, like, there are Katy Perry songs that I'm like, I understand why this is a hit. I understand why this is so popular. But to me, I don't know.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I do think how you feel about Ariana was how I felt about Katy for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have to get into a dumb part of my brain to be like, I'm going to listen to a Katy Perry song.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I mean, I do think I'm getting dumber as I'm getting older. And I think now at this point, that song she released a couple of, maybe like a year ago, Harleys in Hawaii, which is about riding Harleys in the state of Hawaii. And in the video, she is in fact on a motorcycle in Hawaii. And I heard that song and I was like, this is good.
Ha.
Katy Perry, you know, Katy Perry made a whole career out of the dumb parts of Gaga. When Gaga is dumb,
mm-hmm.
Katy Perry was like, I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to do that entirely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I totally agree. But yeah, Katy Perry, again, I don't like her, but I understand it. I understand her, though. I get what she's doing.
Who do you think of the pop stars is most influenced by the Beatles? Isn't that a hard question? I'm trying to think.
None of them?
Yeah.
I think they were all like, yeah, no. Like, I think Katy Perry listened to a Beatles album and was like, I'm good.
That's definitely what happened with Katy Perry.
She's like, no, I don't wanna.
Yeah, I don't really know, actually. Like, the only... But I don't know if you would consider them pop stars. Like, One Direction, does that count?
Oh, like other boy... Like, boy bands, yeah.
Like, white boy
bands. Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, NSYNC is... You know, you see the influence right there, front and center.
Okay. I have to say, so about the Beatles.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When boys do pop songs, it's kind of like,
atrocious.
Why?
Yeah.
Like, don't.
Oh, you don't like it?
When boys... Wait, why?
Okay, Eudora, are you a Harry Styles person?
Oh, I love Harry Styles.
Wow.
Yeah, but I am, like, one of those people who... I had no, I didn't know who he was when One Direction was around, but once he was out of that, I was like, oh, who is this guy? I gotta know this guy. I love Harry Styles.
Yeah. For me, Harry Styles is just like, I think that I guess I would say I feel about, I just don't, I think, you know, talk about someone who is influenced by the Beatles.
For sure. For sure.
And that's where I'm going to stop. Yeah.
For sure. For
sure. I would love if podcasts had sort of cover art in like a classic sense. I would love a poster of this episode with a poll quote on it that says, I love Harry Styles, Eudora Peterson. You know, that to me is the takeaway quote from...
I mean, it is interesting, Eudora, how you're so
hard. Why does
so
that rattle you
hard,
that I love him?
You're so hard on all these women. And then when a man puts out mediocre music, you just
not
kinda,
a peep.
You
not
eat it
a
up.
Peep.
You don't hear from me. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm hard on white women. Because when you think, I love Rihanna.
Well, you know, I mean, Ariana Grande, Latinx.
From what we know,
Ariana
Grande, Latinx. You're right. You're hard on white women and Latinx women. And not hard on, okay, cool, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome, awesome sauce. Okay, the Beatles.
The Beatles.
Yeah.
The Beatles, baby. Who could forget the Beatles?
What do you think is Doja Cat's favorite Beatles song? Did you ever watch that musical about the Beatles? Not about the Beatles, with Beatles music with Evan Rachel Wood, Across the Universe?
I never saw it either.
Me neither. So anyway, does anyone else have anything they want to talk about?
The Beatles, baby.
The
yes.
Beatles.
Here's what I will say about the Beatles. I knew what the Beatles were as a band before I knew what the insect beetle was. So I actually thought that beetle was spelled with an A. And I didn't realize it was a terrible pun on the word beetle where they changed it to mean beet.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to add on to this and say that I recently misspelled the word skin in a text thread.
How would you do that?
Yeah, how's it misspelled?
I wrote the word skincare, and for some reason I wrote S-C-I-N.
Sin care.
To have written skin wrong in a text thread, it hurts, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe that's how the Beatles feel when they did a typo for their name.
I mean, I guess.
No, they were so
what
proud
kind
of
it. What kind of lobby do you think is in charge of promoting the Beatles generation after generation so we never forget them, other than the military and the Coast Guard?
I don't know. Will our kids know about them, or will that be dead?
No, I feel like the people who... White boyfriends. Those are the people who are in charge of... And this is no disrespect to my white boyfriend. He's like, honestly, he's lukewarm on the Beatles. But this is like... That's pretty much why I know about the Beatles, because of him.
Yeah, that's why you're dating him.
Because I want to know more about the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, but I can't listen to the music.
Right. No, you actually have to commit. You have to commit to a relationship with a white man if you even are interested in the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a passing interest. I mean, it can take years of your life.
It can.
I'm like having a hard look in the mirror right now, and I'm like thinking about like the Beatles members' solo albums I put on, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm the white boyfriend.
Here's the thing
I've
with
been the
Beatles. The
white boyfriend the whole time.
Oh my God.
I have a point about the Beatles.
Yeah, if you don't have a white boyfriend, you are the white boyfriend.
Look to your left, look to your right. One of you is the white boyfriend.
And I think in every relationship, regardless of sexuality or race, there is a white boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and you know what? I'm that's really one of the best points I've ever made. I do want to say about the Beatles, and this is the second best point I've ever made. I think the Beatles exist so that female singer songwriters can cover their songs.
Sure,
like Fiona Apple, like Fiona Apple or Amy Mann or like whoever else. Like, I think that's why the Beatles exist, so that Fiona Apple can cover Across the Universe and then I can listen to it when I'm 16.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, I know Fiona Apple as well as I know the Beatles.
That's fair. Well, you would love this cover then. I'll send it to your boyfriend. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, though, I mean, I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but it's like how Beyonce covered Sex on Fire by whatever that band is called.
Kings of Leon.
Kings of Leon.
Leon Kings.
Leon. Wow. Well, have we covered the Beatles enough, do you think?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to go ahead and say a hard no. The Beatles. Mm. Do you guys remember that movie? Not the one that George brought up, but the other one where the guy gets bonked on the head. And
oh, my God. How did it take us so long to bring that up? Yesterday.
Yeah, it was called Yesterday.
Did anyone watch that?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. We need to stop bringing up movies that none of us have seen.
To be fair, like, who would watch that?
Yeah. Maybe Eudora's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep dragging. I've never met him.
And I don't think he would watch it.
You know, I have met him. And the whole time, you know, whenever we're together, yeah, he's talking about the film Yesterday.
Yeah, he's obsessed. And, you know, I haven't met him, but I would say in the same way that the city of New York is the fifth character in Sex and the City, he's the fourth character in this podcast.
Don't do it.
Yes. I think in many respects, Eudora's boyfriend is the fifth Beatle.
Oh, that's what I thought you were going to say. And I was like, don't do that.
Oh,
don't
say that. I wasn't smart to make the most obvious joke. Interesting.
Did you guys have a point in school, like high school, where you were like, okay, I'm supposed to like the Beatles now?
100%.
Definitely.
I still, to this day, am like, wait, fuck. Should I do the deep dive? And because here's the thing, and this is a really difficult truth about the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
As much as so many white boyfriends like them, often people who are not white boyfriends will decide to do a deep dive and then be like, they're actually, like, really good.
I think one of the biggest problems with the Beatles is that they're actually probably good.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's like, we have to live with that. Like, they're not, as much as you want to dismiss them, they're actually good.
Mm-hmm. This happened to me, like, in elementary school. That's how, like, early on it was, like, beat into me that I need to be aware and understand the Beatles. And so there's a part that's sort of like, okay, I guess technically they're good, but, like, I enjoyed the Beatles the most when I was maybe 7 years, 9 years old?
Mm-hmm.
So how could it be?
Yeah, I mean, they do create music that is, it's like music for...
So how could that be?
How good could it be?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I say this all the time, that Carly Rae Jepsen writes adult nursery rhymes. And I do think the Beatles also, I mean, it's interesting, it's like, one could argue that their music is like perfectly constructed pop music, but then one could also argue that if pop music is perfectly constructed, that makes it so simple that it is in fact for children. So is it good or is it bad?
Whoa. You're saying the Beatles music is for kids.
I'm saying it is it is constructed in such a quote unquote perfect way without, you know, in the same way that like a simple nursery rhyme is constructed. So you're able to appreciate it even if you're a child. Just like Eudora. Baby Einstein over here.
Yeah. I love that you started to say baby genius and then you walked it back.
Yeah, you're like,
Baby Einstein is a more specific reference.
Well, I mean, I saw the hit film Baby Geniuses 1 and 2.
That's right. I did too. Oh, I'm glad we've all seen Baby Geniuses 1 and 2, but not any movie about the Beatles, the topic of our podcast.
Well, it's not. This podcast isn't about movies we've seen. It's about things we don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's why we have a long way to go. There are many, many potential topics. Interesting.
I thought I had a point about the Beatles, but I actually don't.
Yeah. Well, I think what we've really learned is that...
What is
yes.
It?
I remember. So I think it's incredible to dismiss things like what we were talking about. I love to dismiss, you know, and I'm often wrong. Like, I watched The Office. I mean, a few years ago, I'm joshing about The Office. I'm saying, this show sucks. Who watches mm-hmm. it? Then I decide to watch mm-hmm. it. It's incredible.
It's funny.
You know? It's funny. It's it's good. It's, I don't know. And so I think, like,
George is
I
like,
guess
no.
what I'm saying is.
No, I mean, I love the turn this has taken of Sam praising The Office.
I mean,
like, we're trying to talk about the Beatles. No one has anything to say. And Sam's mm-hmm. like, well, The Office is good.
Okay, the Beatles are the office of music, I think is what I'm saying.
Mm. That's interesting.
I see what you're saying, though, too, because I feel like a lot of people who push back, I guess, against The Office are really pushing back against the fan base.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, and I think, honestly, that could honestly be my issue maybe with the Beatles. I think maybe mm-hmm. I'm more resistant to all the people who insist that I need to like it.
Yeah.
But maybe if me and the Beatles exist in a vacuum, I might enjoy it.
Eudora, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Imagine in your head the ideal Beatles listener. Mm-hmm. Now, describe to me what they are wearing.
They're wearing sweaters. I think they're wearing sweaters, cardigans.
Cardigans, mm-hmm. yes.
Which isn't, I mean, no disrespect against cardigans.
I mean, so many people we know wear sweaters.
Yeah.
Some of our greatest figures in history wear sweaters.
I just bought a cardigan.
You know, this is something I read the other day. Every American president has worn a sweater.
Mm-hmm. That's when you actually think about that statistic, that's crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And all American presidents are good people.
Inherently. That's how they got elected.
That's how a democracy works. They are the best people available at any given historical
moment. At any given
moment.
Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't it so crazy?
Voting is amazing.
It's so crazy that the two best people in America are Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. And it was really hard to narrow it down to two because there's so many good people in the world. But the fact that we finally got there through our awesome process is good.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It warms my heart. And you know, the fact that I get the opportunity to decide to contribute to the decision of which one of them is number one and which one of them is number two. I mean, it really is it's almost like I'm one of the judges in judging how tall people are for the sports awards.
The fact that I will walk into that booth and just be unable to make a wrong decision is amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I don't know, flip a coin.
Pick the tallest one.
Pick the tallest one. Thank you.
Yes.
And that's the president.
Do you think we should apply my suggestion for sports also to politics and only elect the tallest and widest people?
I actually think that would be really helpful. Yeah. If we found the tallest person and just made them president mm-hmm. because they were tall,
I bet it would be okay. I do think maybe we can... I'm trying to think, you know, obviously height and width are often also dependent. Mm-hmm. I mean, on average, men are taller than women. On average, men are wider than women. Not always, mm-hmm. but often that's the case. So maybe there's a way to adjust for gender. Or maybe, in fact, we can only elect women, but it has to be tall women.
She better be tall.
Yeah.
That would be a great campaign slogan.
Exactly. It's, Eudora Peterson, she's tall.
I can even see, like, CNN commentators being like, now, you know, Jennifer is a tough candidate. She's 6'1", and mm-hmm. then they'll be like, but Rebecca, you got to look at the facts. She's 6'2".
Yeah.
And that'll be like, sort of the whole debate.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, well, you know, but if you factor in the hair, and then she was wearing platform shoes. Now we have a dialogue.
I like you could just like run smear campaign, just be like she's actually 5'5". Like you can just
Do you think that in fact on average, like in all seriousness, if we were to only debate about who's taller, we would end up just kind of through sheer luck electing better people than who we currently do? Because I think yes.
I actually think yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Cool. Well, we figured out politics. Mm-hmm. Should we move on to our last segment, Sam, do you think?
Yeah, I think we've covered the Beatles to a really deep extent. I think anyone listening to this, if there's anything we didn't cover, like, feel free to talk to us about it, but I'm pretty sure we got it. So our final segment, Eudora, is called Shoutouts, and it is, you know, an homage to a straight ritual of giving a shout-out. Mm-hmm. So we pick something that we enjoy, and we just sort of pop off about it for a moment. And I feel like you have to get in the mindset of, imagine you're in Times Square, it's 2002, you're screaming, the camera's on you, and you're yelling to everybody back home at your high school. So that's what we'll go first and pick something. George, do you have one?
I mean, if I'm going to be fully honest with you, I don't have one. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay. What's up, listeners? I just want to give a quick shout out to Lake Michigan. I am here in Michigan with my parents. I'm lame. I'm stupid. I give up. Who cares? Fucking kill me if you have to. But I'm here and I am getting into awful moods as per usual. And then I will go take a dip in beautiful Georgiana, Lake Michigan. And I just let that frigid water wash over me and immediately I'm in a better mood. This lake, it's huge. The water is clear and it doesn't stink like fish. I love this lake. I wish there weren't boats on it, but I'll let them do what they want because I'm not trying to, you know, yuck anybody's yum. I love Lake Michigan. I love my life and I love my squad. XOXO, Sam. Woo!
Wait, are you close enough that I don't know how Michigan is set up. You're just by the lake?
Yeah, it's like across the street.
Are you kidding?
I love I don't know how Michigan is set up.
I don't.
And you know what? I don't either. I truly relate to that sentiment.
Yeah. It's very, the town I'm in is like a little lake town.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, you hear Lake Michigan, so and I'm just like, I would assume that you'd have to drive there. But now you're talking about, like, you get mad and you just walk outside and take a dip.
Oh, I slap my Tevas on and I just walk into the water.
That's so cool.
Wow. Okay. Well, I can do one. All right, ready?
Yes.
Hey, listeners. I just want to give a quick shout out to the idea of writing something privately and not showing it to anyone. This is something that I have recently discovered and did not know was an option. Recently, I tweeted something and someone replied, and that reply was stupid. And then I wrote a paragraph long response to it and saved it as a draft in my emails and read it. And I read it over and I realized I have intense anger issues that I need to work on. And woo! I will be doing that privately in my journal that I bought from a website. And when it comes, oh, will I write on it every single day, maybe multiple times, in order for me to stay sane and stop grinding my teeth. Woo!
Okay.
All right. Okay, Eudora. Okay. This is the moment of truth.
Okay, I got it, because this...
Okay.
I was enjoying this earlier today. Okay, shout out to things that are on sale, but they're not final sale. I think it's great that I can buy this thing at a discount, but just in case it doesn't fit me, I can send it back because it's not final. That's like kryptonite to me sometimes. I get so scared when things are final sale and you see it online, you're just like, oh, I can't take that leap. And shout out to that.
Do you know, I think that things that are on sale but not final sale, that's like the bisexuality of being on sale.
Oh, yes.
Because
I think it's sort of like open relationship of being on sale.
Yeah, or non-binary. It's definitely questioning binaries because it's the idea of being on sale but also being able to be returned is nothing. I mean, I guess none of it matters.
I definitely think of that as the norm when things are on sale but not final sale. And right?
In my mind, on sale, I in my mind, if something's on sale, usually there are no returns, especially online. So yeah. You have to be really careful.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so frustrating, because sometimes, here's the thing. Mm. Often I will want to buy things that are like really expensive. And obviously the only way I can afford them is if they're on final sale. But then the thing is, when they're on final sale, you can't return them. And obviously they're still expensive.
Mm-hmm. No,
so it's this trap.
It's tough. Because I feel like most of the time when there's a sale that's good enough for you to like get yourself involved in, it's final. That's the caveat. That's the catch.
That's the catch.
That's the catch. That's how they get you. They're like, we'll give it to you at like 80% off, but you have to keep it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like Ursula being like, yeah, I'll give you legs, but like...
Exactly.
Babe, you can't talk anymore.
Exactly. That's exactly
like, yeah,
what it is.
You'll get what you want. You'll get what you want. You don't even know. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, it's $0, but your life...
You gotta keep it.
...as you know it is over.
Wow. Yeah. Final sale is like Ursula. That's really smart.
Yep. It's one of the smarter things I've said.
I think in general, this podcast, needless to say, has been smart start to finish.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say, I just want to address the elephant in the room. I really feel like and I hope you don't feel like this, Eudora. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have been taking up so much. I feel like I have been talking over you, and I feel like I have been like jumping in constantly. And I just wanted to address that. Ultimately, I'm not going to change it, but I just wanted to let you know that I know that.
Eudora, do you just want to talk for maybe like 4 minutes right now, and we can sort of intersperse it throughout the episode so that George feels less bad?
Eudora, just say random words, and we'll edit them into the rest of the episode.
No. I'm tired. No. I don't want
to. Okay. Okay.
Well, would you like to maybe be mean to George for a moment?
You can call me so that a really offensive name.
No.
Okay.
That's mm-mm.
All right.
Okay, she didn't fall for the trap. She passed.
Congratulations, Eudora.
You're now the co-host of
You're
this
now
podcast.
You're the co-host of this podcast. In fact, the only host. Sam and I are both. And you can edit this and put it out. Bowen edited our last one. And then from then on, I mean, it's really up to you. And I think it's so important to pass the torch onto people who don't want it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I think that's the end of our podcast.
Cool. Yeah. Well, listen. Congratulations to all three of us. And Eudora, say hi to your boyfriend for me.
Oh my God, he's gonna be so mad at me that I dragged him into this.
Well, do you want to leak his name, perhaps, so that people.
No, don't.
No.
This podcast is not about doxing. We're not doxing Dan's daughter, and we're not doxing Eudora's boyfriend. And we love all people, mm-hmm. and we think that our peaceful child army of JoJo Siwas is only going to make the world a better place.
Okay, and that is the end of our pod. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.